So my friends know that I read romance, so I have some Facebook friends who are just like, hey, is this a good one? Hey, is this a good one? And I'm like, yes, no, maybe, haven't read that one, spicy. And I have a friend, Brooke, sorry to name you by name, who was just like, hey, look, this romance novel is set in my town. Isn't this funny? Oh my gosh, I should totally recommend this to my book club. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Tessa Bailey. That is, I haven't read that one, but oh my gosh, she writes really steamy books. So spicy. And she was like, ha ha, great. 2 weeks later, whoop. Oh my gosh, Elizabeth, I recommended this to the Red Hat Society. You did not tell me that steamy meant explicit sex scenes. And I'm like, have you not been listening to my book reviews, Brooke? When I say spicy, I mean explicit. And that Tessa Bailey is like a level 5. Oh, and so I was like, she's like, did I just recommend a sex novel to the Red Hat Society? Yes, Brooke. Yes, you did.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
My name is Elizabeth. My pronouns are also she, her.
And today is Bookstore Romance Day, so we're going to talk about romance novels.
Live from my living room where we have shooed out the children.
Goodbye, children. We need to talk about romance.
And we need to talk about things not for children's ears.
It's true.
So we were just talking that sometimes we'll be reading a romance novel and our kids separately will come up and be like, hey, Mom. And it's like, I cannot talk to you right now because this is not a child appropriate reading material. My oldest is just starting to get to the reading age, but at the same point, I'm like, you threw off the emperor's groove, man.
Beware the groove. Beware the groove. Yeah, no. I have to be alone when I read some of these romance novels, for sure.
Or, I don't know about you, but if I'm pulling up to daycare, I have to pause the audiobook. Because, I don't think that they need to know. Because sometimes these audiobooks will surprise you, and you'll be just like, oh, this is a perfectly fine scene as you're handing your toll to the toll taker on the highway. And then, boom, not fine. And a toll taker, an unsuspecting, innocent toll taker, just basically got blasted by inappropriate content for the public sphere. And you're like, I can never drive down this highway ever again.
Never again. It's true. Yeah, there have definitely been a few that took me by surprise. I was like, oh, we're doing this now. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about romance. We're gonna celebrate romance novels a little bit. Let's start by talking about ones that we've read recently. I am currently, and this book's gonna come up a lot, I think. I'm currently reading Neon Gods by Katie Roberts. at Elizabeth's suggestion, and several other booksellers were like, hey, this book is really good. It is Hades and Persephone.
A contemporary
modern Olympus.
Not technically magic.
Not, yeah.
There's hints at it,
like,
but
magic,
it's really
adjacent.
They're in a city.
Yeah, and it almost feels like a New York-ish.
It does, and yeah. It's not, they're not actual gods. They're inherited titles.
Yeah, yeah. You know, imagine if 50 Shades of Grey had way more consent and healthy boundaries.
And emotional, healthy emotions.
Yeah. And like more humor as well. And you've kind of got Neon Gods. It's very good. I'm about halfway through right now. Elizabeth has read it. I'm loving it. It is really good.
It is good. It reads almost like, so, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm presuming if you're listening to a romance edition of the podcast, you probably read a lot of fan fiction in your teenage years. Mm-hmm. And you thought it was good, and then maybe you go back and revisit it a couple years later, and you're like, wow, this is terrible. This is as good as you thought the fan fiction back then was, and just as deliciously gratuitous, but with technical skill behind it.
Yes.
And it's you're just like, wow, this is, all right, okay, they did the thing.
They did that.
But it's I don't know. It's over the top, but in a believably over the top, ridiculous kind of way.
Yeah. 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 No, so I'm loving that. That is a really good one. That is, I think Elizabeth rated that one a 6 out of 5 on the Steam scale.
I did. Because, wow. Yeah. That's a sexy book about the sex right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was, I think I called that one Vesuvius levels.
Yes.
Hilariously. Or like Hephaestus. Levels of heat, because that one is spicy.
That is a steamy book right there. I also just read Jasmine Guillory's new one, While We Were Dating. That interview is also going up today, so check your podcast feeds. It's in there. She is so lovely, and While We Were Dating is really good. I loved it so much. So that one is about a famous movie actress who is gunning for the role of her dreams. It's like the Oscar bait role. She's desperate for it. She is taking part in an ad campaign, and the sort of director of the ad campaign, the guy running it, have some pretty great chemistry. And one night, after, you know, a long day of shooting, she gets a text that her dad is in the hospital. And her dad doesn't have the best health, so she freaks out. And he's down in, like, I think Palm Springs, and they're in LA, and it's a long drive. She's trying to get a flight, and all the flights are booked. It's, like, late. She can't get there. And the guy who she has all this chemistry with is like, oh, I'll just take you.
Classic.
Like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'll just take you.
That's a classic movie and book trope.
Yes. Yes. So they have the road trip.
The forced proximity road trip.
Yes. Which I love.
Is there only one bed?
You know, I think there is. I think there's only one bed at one point. But no, they, like, it's really sweet. What I love about this book, because it goes from the forced proximity, it transitioned into a fake dating book.
Ooh.
Yes. There's multiple tropes in this book. They're all done super well, and they're all done with actual conversation and consent and willingness. So, like, they start hanging out. Her, like, manager is like, oh, this guy would be really good for your image. He would help bolster you. He would get you into the tabloids, basically, so that your name would be more familiar. You're more likely to get this role that you're gunning for, right? So it becomes a strategic thing. And so he's like, you should fake date this guy. And she's like, yeah, okay. And she's thinking about it, and she's about to bring him into this party where he will unknowingly be photographed with her, right? And she stops, and she's like, wait, hold on. He was so nice to me and so honest, and we had such an awesome bonding experience. Why am I going to repay that with lies? No, hold on. And she stops, and she's like, hey, this is what's going on. And he's like, I'm in. I'll help you.
Are you saying that two romance novel characters had an adult conversation and healthy communication?
Yes! Multiple times through this book, there are instances where in any other situation, it would be that, like, misunderstanding. I only overheard the last part. I didn't hear the context. Now we're in a fight. No. None of that. They have conversations. And when they do have a little spat, they, like, take some time, and then they come back and have a healthy conversation about it.
Oh, my God, I love it.
And they reconcile. It is so refreshing.
I love it.
And it's very hot as well. It is a 5 out of 5 on the Steam scale. It is
excellent.
And, you know, of course, they are both people of color. You've also got your plus-sized heroine. It's fantastic. It checks all the boxes. It's great. It's really good. So that's While We Were Dating by Jasmine Guillory. It's on our shelves now.
All right. What have I been reading? I have read a lot of romance this summer, which was not an intentional choice. It's just that, you know, that weird limbo between, oh, I finished all my books and I need to make a smart choice for the next one. Do I read something that's coming up? Do I read something that's on my backlist? What do I read next? Do I read something for me? And then I basically panic and I just grab the top thing off my stack that doesn't look like it's going to drain me emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it is, of course, a book about emotions, which doesn't seem like it should work. So I've read a couple books. The one that I'm reading right now is called The Royals Next Door by Karina Halley? I'm not certain. But it is about a woman who has had a rough couple years, and she lives on this tiny island kind of like in somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
And she's an elementary school teacher, last day of school, and she's driving home, and it turns out that Prince Harry and Meghan, I'm sorry, it's not Prince Harry and Princess Meghan, it is a completely unrelated, totally not written about Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. It is characters obviously based on Prince Harry and his wife, Meghan Markle, and they have decided to move to town in the middle of nowhere, to get some time away because they're leaving the royal family. His wife is based off of Meghan Markle, who has been horribly treated by the British tabloid press in general. And they end up moving in next door because the house that she lives in used to be like the servants' quarters for the house next door, but the property was subdivided. So she ends up living next door to the royals, who are super sweet and like invite them to dinner. Her mother has dependent personality disorder and bipolar. And so she lives with her mother, who is dependent on her and kind of is making struggles with her mental illness. And she's trying to be like, okay, wow, we've got paparazzi outside the gates. We have gates now because they put up gates. The royals are next door and they're inviting us to dinner. And my mom has decided she's going to learn how to bake a cake. Only now she's suddenly mad and paranoid that like, so that it's a mess. And the head of security is smoking hot. And they, of course, get off on the wrong foot. Because like on the very first page where one of her second grade students throws up on her purse and she's like, nope, into the garbage. So she drives home and everybody knows her. So they're like, ah, hi, Susie, you know, like go on home. But the head of security is like, do you have a driver's license to prove you live here? And she's like, it's covered in a second grader's vomit. And he's like, I think you're a paparazzi. Well, she's not. They get off on the wrong foot. But the chemistry is there. He's actually super sweet. Like, he gives her mom baking tips. And I'm only partway through, but the hints are there that the princess is pregnant. And that is why they left at that time, to just have some privacy and some quiet time in this small town. And it's super cute, and it's getting a little steamy because the chemistry is, I mean, I don't know what the steam level is here yet. Yeah. But it's apparently quite spicy. My sales rep was just like, did you get to the beach scene yet? So anytime they're on the water, and I'm like, is this it?
Is this the scene?
And that's called The Royals Next Door, and I'm in the middle of that one. I just finished Payback's a Witch by Lana Harper, which is a revenge-based rom-com. About three witches, contemporary witches, who have been wronged by the same man.
Oh my God.
And they're like, we're going to get back at him. And now they don't turn him into a toad.
I mean, okay. Fine.
Get in, witches, we're going hexing. They've decided, they're like, we're going to get back at him because he wronged the main character. They were high school you know, sweethearts, and he's just, so they all belong to founding families in this town who are all magical families. And there is a once in a generation friendly competition to see who is going to basically be the power in town over the next generation. Once in a generation. And so she belongs to the weakest family, which is technically the arbitrators of the contest. They don't actually compete. They arbitrate the contest. And of course, the arrogant playboy. Do you think I can say it? Do you think I...
Go for it.
The douche canoe fuckboy belongs to the powerful family that always wins. And so when they were in high school and like she was kind of falling in love, she's like 17, you know, and he's like, oh, you know, I just don't ever see myself marrying you. And she's like, well, who do you see yourself marrying? He's like, I don't know, a rich heiress from outside of town. She's like, so literally anybody but me. Okay.
Rude.
So yeah, he's rude. Like, he's arrogant. I have not yet seen any redeeming qualities in him. He belongs to the powerful one where they basically, like, they, their magical skill set is they can change things, can convert thing, like, turn these bunnies into slippers or something, or but more impressive than that.
Yeah.
There's, her best friend is in the family that focuses mostly on emotions and plant life, and, you know, that, like, they grow and they heal things. That's her best friend, and they're so sweet. Her older twin brother is the one competing in the competition. He's older by, like, 6 minutes, but he's got it. Okay. And then the third witch is Talia, who was the hot girl a couple years older in high school. That family kind of does, like, they're kind of like necromancers, but they also guide spirits, you know, through, they can commune with spirits. So she's, like, the sexy older girl, and they're, like, she's like, hey, we have this plan. The competition is coming up. That's why you're back in town, because the main character left town right after high school, and she's like, I'm not ever going to come back here if I can help it. I've been pigeonholed into the lowest on the pecking order my whole life. There's not a lot of respect, and I'm just so embarrassed by what he did, and I'm gone. So she's back in town to arbitrate the competition, as she's the scion of the noble house, so to speak, in Thistle Grove. Like, I don't know if you can call it a scion of a noble house. And the other two witches are like, the other houses are struggling because he's basically siphoning all the magic. Not like intentionally, but it's been so long that the other houses, it's unbalanced.
Sure.
So they're like, first of all, we need to knock him down a peg, and we're going to embarrass him entirely in this competition. And second of all, we need to rebalance the town because everything's failing. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we're going to team up. The other two houses are going to team up. She can't herself because she is literally the neutral arbitrator, and the magic forces that. But she's like, but let's go through the rule book right here. And so it's this magical competition. There's going to be three tasks. And maybe things are starting to boil with her and Talia. And there's a connection. And it's spicy. Okay. And it's, you know, it's... I would rate this as a level 4 in all this team. A female-female romance. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. She's, like, the things that they do with the magic, like, the snarkiness that they do. At one point, she's like, oh, no, Hecate's chili tits. Oh, my God. You know, like, just the ridiculousness of it was fantastic. Awesome. I loved it so much. That comes out in October. So that's still a little bit far, but I think you have her scheduled for an interview, and yes, I'm going to bribe you to be on that.
She will very likely be on the podcast this fall. Stay tuned for that. I don't have a date yet, but the request has been put out there. So.
Well, I am now her best friend on Twitter, so I can hook this up. But also finished Recipe for Persuasion by Sonali Dev, which is loosely, not based on, but inspired by Persuasion by Jane Austen. And it follows the same family that we met in Pride, Prejudice, and Other Flavors.
Oh, okay.
So this one has a food-based setting. And this is a cousin from one of the characters in the first book. She's trying to save her late father's struggling restaurant, but it's really hard. She's got a lot of emotional baggage tied up in proving herself worthy of her father and also continuing his legacy. Across the world, there's a soccer player who, you know, he's the best soccer player, you know, in England, tore up his knee, his career's over. So he's like, so what do I do now? And his agent's like, well, we could put you on some reality shows, I guess, but, you know, and he ends up choosing to be on a reality show with the girl, the chef. Because he recognized her because that was the one that got away in high school. And they are both the one that got away for each other, but they both felt so betrayed by the other. Because, of course, huge misunderstandings. Yeah. And it was this high school romance and, you know, her father was like, you're not good enough for her. And, you know, he was an orphan and there's this whole subplot with her mother who... Her father was just not a great person, so she was kind of trapped into marriage, and he's been gone for, like, over a decade, but he still is kind of just ruining everything for everybody. Aww. So they're on this cooking competition where a professional chef is paired with a celebrity, and he's amazing. Basically, like, he's like, I've never forgiven her, and I've never forgotten her, and he shows up, and he surprises her, and she's like, oh my god, like, she just absolutely falls apart.
Yep.
Like, she drops a knife, and he, like, slides across the floor to catch it, and everybody's like, soccer skills, and he, like, tears his knee open again. It's horrible. But it's like this romantic thing where they're like, okay, you've got to play this up because the whole internet is rooting for you two now. Like, they think it's so romantic. And she's like, I'm going to die. I'm just going to die. And he's like, we just have to get through this competition. She's like, you don't understand. I can only cook like 10 recipes. I have this mental block. I can only cook my father's recipes. And so there's like, it's like these people need to talk to somebody, like a therapist, you know. It's kind of like, it gets spicy. They do talk it out in the end, but there's all this tension of emotional baggage of how family can just really mess you up.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet. She wants the money to save her father's restaurant, and her mother's like, why are you still trying to please this man? He's gone. Mm. And you don't even like cooking. You went to cooking school to please him.
Oh my God.
But she's like, you were never here for me, Mom. And like, you always left. And she's like, I always left because I was trapped into marriage. And you're just like, you guys need to sit down with a cup of coffee and just like talk to each other. But no one can stand to be in the same room.
Yep.
It does get spicy, kind of like 3.5, 4.
Okay.
Like, it's not overly descriptive, but it gets pretty sexy.
You know what's happening.
It's very sexy. Like, the tension is fantastic, but you could pretend you don't know what's going on, theoretically, if you're reading it with your grandma. So.
Yeah. That's amazing. That sounds great. So let's talk about the romance genre, because we both love romances. Why do you think... Okay, so I feel like in the last few years, the romance genre has gained a lot of public popularity. Like, I think people who love romance have always read romance, but it's become more mainstream recently. And I kind of want to talk about why. And you and I have talked about this a little bit in that people need happy endings right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think there's another big factor in this, which is not related to a guaranteed happy ending, which is in the technical definition of a romance novel as set by the Romance Writers of America Association.
Sure.
A romance must have a plot that centers around a romantic and relationship between two or more people, and there must be a happy ending. If it does not have a happy ending, then it's literary fiction. It is not, like, you have to have the happy ending, you have to resolve the romance, you know, so that there is a happy ending. People do want the happy ending right now because the world is on fire.
Literally.
And it's just like this dump. Yeah. Whew. yay. The world is absolutely on fire, and we can't control anything right now, and we're all struggling and searching for comfort right now. And I think we see this a lot. There's our brothers and sisters who watch Hallmark Channel movies, mm-hmm. You want a story. Yes, they're formulaic. You don't know how they're going to get there, but you know that they're going to be happy at the end.
Yeah.
And it provides me that comfort of, I'm not going to be overly surprised by this. I want to know that it's all going to turn out all right. And I don't care that I know how it's going to end. I want that. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for the next Oscar winner.
Right.
I want something that will comfort me and make me happy and maybe a little sexy. But I think there's a whole other aspect about the popularity lately, and that is people are becoming aware of their own internalized misogyny.
Mm.
In the world, I remember, myself included, a decade ago, I was like, ugh, I love reading trashy romance novels. And if I said trashy romance novels, it was a self-deprecating jab at myself.
Yes.
Where you couldn't say it to me because I'd already said it about myself. Like, yes. Tyrion Lannister he's like, wear it like armor and they can't attack you for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would call them trashy because anything to do with sex or romance was considered to be less than.
Yep.
And it was considered a feminine pursuit, you know, or like, why are you so obsessed with romance? I'm sorry. Why are you so obsessed with, like, human relationships? Why is that a feminine pursuit? And then women were embarrassed to read them. Now, there is the aspect of, like, am I reading porn in public? I mean, like, that, okay, all right. You know, there's an aspect of that. But, like, I don't know a single guy that is, well, I'm sure that there are. Like, lots of guys would be like, I mean, yeah, I watch, you know, porn, you know. Sure, so it's, why is that okay? Why is
it so, yeah.
But women are expected to be this pure ideal of, I don't ever think about sex and relationships and emotions. Right. And then, so they're embarrassed for themselves. They shouldn't be. People, I mean, you presumably live in a world of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So reading about relationships and about romances, it doesn't make it less than just because it's traditionally a female pursuit.
Yeah.
And then, so we not only have the patriarchy telling us
mm-hmm.
that it's a lesser pursuit and a lesser literary genre, but we're now telling ourselves that it's something to be embarrassed of.
Right.
And in the last decade, we've been like, wait, this is bullshit. Just because I like it, just because I'm a basic white girl, I like pumpkin spice lattes, I like fleece leggings, I like vests and apple picking. You know why? They're popular because they're good.
Yes.
The Ugg boots are comfy. I don't own Ugg boots, but I have fluffy sheepskin slippers, you know, and they're comfy.
Yeah.
Just because something is popular does not mean that it is less than. It's
right.
Popular because it's popular, because people like it.
Yes.
And if I like it, I'm allowed to like it, and I don't have to be embarrassed about liking it. I'm not literally murdering sea turtles.
Right.
You know, I'm not going around, like, doing something horrible. I'm reading a book.
Right.
And it makes me happy, and it has a lot of emotional depth.
Mm-hmm.
Someone spent a lot of time writing this. And we're becoming more and more aware of how the patriarchy has really messed us up.
Yes.
And how we continue to perpetuate it in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't want, like, let people enjoy things.
Yes.
Like, let us enjoy things. It's not hurting you for me to read a romantic comedy about three witches, two of which get pretty spicy. Like, it doesn't hurt anybody. And, you know, just the puritanical society of America, especially New England, home of the Puritans, yay, people so uptight that the English kicked them out. Just because we have puritanical, you know, impressions of sex,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't mean that we can't read about them. Although, again, calling back to the beginning of this podcast, not when our children are in the room.
Yeah. Time and place, for sure.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, literally. We put in a romance section in the bookstore.
I'm so proud of that, by the way.
Which
you and
awesome.
I worked really hard for that, and then we just kind of did it.
We
sorry,
kind of
Michael.
Did it.
We just did it.
And it sells
mm-hmm.
so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
We have to refill that section, like, every day.
Constantly. We are constantly refilling it, which is amazing. And also, like, it's so nice because, you know, as a bookseller, I am very well aware that most of the people browsing the books are too introverted and too shy to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize this. I can see the signs when someone is clearly lost, and I can sidle up to them and be like, hey, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. What can I help you with? Right? I don't force them to come to me, but yep. I also don't scare them away because yep. I am also an introvert, and I know how to talk to fellow introverts.
Yep, yep.
So I know that there have been romance readers who have probably for years thought that we just didn't have a lot of romance novels yep. because they didn't know where to find them, and they didn't ask. And part of that may have been that embarrassment. Part of that may have been the introversion. What's so nice is that now it's out in the open. It's prominently displayed, and people aren't afraid to shop it.
Yep.
I was like a little bit. I was like, I wonder if
people...
Do we
need, like, the curtain or the swinging doors?
Right? Like, I was like, I wonder if people will be, like, nervous or embarrassed to stand there and browse the romance novels because it is so clear. And they're not.
You know what we should do? We should split the shelves into spicy levels.
But then the people who want the spicy ones will be like, you are very clearly aware that I'm looking at spicy.
I wish I could put stickers on the cover, except that you can't ever do that to a bookworm. They'd be like, why did you put something on the cover? But, like, I want to put, like, post-it notes on the cover. Be like, get this one. This one's real. This is a sexy book about the sex. Like, this, get this one.
Yeah.
This one will melt your face off.
Yeah.
So, but that's apparently unprofessional. Michael, we will not be doing that.
But yes, I am very pleased to report that people do browse the romance section, and they're not even embarrassed about it, even when I, a bookseller, acknowledge that they're looking at romance novels. They don't get weird about it.
Excellent.
Which is great. No, I have seen a huge uptick in romance, and what's fun is that I end up having really fun conversations with people about, like, oh, I read that one. It's really, really good. And then they're like, ah, you're a safe person to talk to about this. And so then we start talking about our favorite romance novels and authors and...
Tropes.
And then I usually get to drop things like, oh, I chatted with Emily Henry for the podcast. Oh, I chatted with Jasmine Guillory for the podcast. And then they get all excited and jealous, and it's great. romance novels rock.
I have, as many of you already know, I have the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Where I mark down, like, tropes and how steamy they are. And my friend was joking with me that basically, you know, like, you go to AutoZone and they've got, like, the what windshield wiper do you need from your car? And you got, like, the booklet in front, and you start going down, like, what's your make and model and, like, what's the year and what's the this. And she's like, you need that for romance. And be like, what trope do you want? What? And, like, start flipping through. She's like, you need an encyclopedia.
Yes.
Of steamy
I'm
stuff.
Into this.
So
we
might just start with, like, post-it notes, though. Like, if it has a red post-it note, then it's enemies to lovers.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
If it,
yeah.
And then we can, like, put a little, you know, little number on it.
Yeah. I'm into this. I approve this message. So that's sort of an overview of the romance genre, why we love it, why you should love it. If you're listening to this, you probably love it. So, hi. Yay.
Come talk to us about romance novels.
Come chat with us in the store about romance. It's great. What are your favorite tropes?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so it's hard to do right, but oh no, there's only one bed. I mean, I mentioned fan fiction earlier, and that, I think, is actually where that trope really shines, because you don't have a publisher saying, hey, you have to rein this in before the censors get to us.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do in a traditionally published book. Yeah. Because a lot of traditional publishers don't really want to do that. They don't really want to get too spicy right in there. But there can be a lot of real emotional connection, especially when you combine the, oh no, there's only one bed with the, oh no, one of us is freezing to death kind of thing, where you're just like, oh no, we're trapped in this survival tent, but your clothes are wet, so we've got to take them off. And like, nothing happens, but the intimacy and the trust involved in like, we're saving your life. We're huddled in this sleeping bag together, trying to pretend that we're not, like, so close together, because usually they also hate each other, you know?
Right.
I think that my favorite trope for traditional publishing is enemies to lovers.
It's a very good one.
Because the passion that goes into that, like, it's so fiery where it's hard to be like, oh, we're slightly lukewarm towards each other and we're not quite certain if we like each other and oh, suddenly we're developing feelings. And I mean, I do love an unrequited love, but the passion of like, I hate you so much and oh my gosh, you've got beautiful green flecks in your eyes and oh no. Love that. And they're just like, I hate their guts and I want to kiss them. And you just like, it's so passionate. And I really, really love that. Yeah. Because hate and love are the two sides of the same emotion.
Absolutely.
And it gets very spicy. And I just love the depth of emotion there.
Yeah. I do love an enemies to lovers. I realized recently that I had not paid attention to tropes in romance novels until like a year ago. Like, it just hadn't ever occurred to me while reading to be like, ah, that is a trope. Like, I just would take it, you know, in stride. But I have started paying attention now, and I think my favorite trope is the marriage of convenience.
Ooh.
Which is sometimes tied in with the enemies to lovers.
But also sometimes friends to lovers.
But sometimes it's friends to lovers.
Yes.
And
she's just doing all these hand grasp emotions
cozy.
Right now.
It's cozy. I don't know. I just love it. And one recent one that I really loved that did the marriage of convenience really well was Winter's Orbit by Everina Maxwell, which is
Well, that was almost arranged marriage.
Well, yeah. I mean, marriage of convenience is...
I thought marriage of convenience was I need a wife and you need money.
Well, that's part of it, and the other part of it is like, for them it was like, this is the most convenient marriage that we can put together. Yeah. Like, it was, you know, there are different facets of that trope.
It's a spectrum.
And I love all of them.
That was,
you know, I love the ones where they're like, you know, if we hit our 30s and we haven't gotten married, we'll just get married, and then they fall in love. And I also love the ones that are like, yeah, you're a pawn, and you're a pawn, and we need you two to be married so that our warring countries can have peace. Like, okay! But yes, Winter's Orbit was really, really good. That was, my bookseller friends just sort of scream, space is gay! And that's how you know that they're talking about Winter's Orbit.
That one also had a, oh no, there's only one bed while we survive in the freezing tundra as well.
Yes. And that one was so cute because you had the one character who was so clearly coming out of an abusive relationship, and the other character being so overly respectful to him that he's like...
He was like the enthusiastic, sparkly one, and he's just like, I just like everything, and I'm very friendly. Do you need a cushion? Do you need a glass of water? I love you, but I can't tell you that because you're scared.
And yeah, and you're grieving your partner who died, and the other one's like, I'm still not coming. I have not yet come to terms with the fact that I was in an abusive relationship and my partner is dead and I'm free. Like, and you're just like, oh, you too. I just want to smoosh you together.
Like,
and then
they both want to smooch each other. Yes. Like, many smooches. Like, the sparkly one is just like, I want to smooch him, but I need to be respectful. And the other one's like, I want to smooch him. Why doesn't he want to smooch me?
Yes.
You're just like, oh, you like put them in a jar and shake them together.
They're so cute. It is so cute. I loved that book. It was great. So yeah, I think that is my favorite trope.
Is this the most enthusiastic podcast that we've done? Because we're just kind of yelling in a room about kissing.
It's definitely up there. It's definitely up there. I have gotten probably this level with some of my horror discussions, but usually it's one-sided.
Can I just say how I love how genre author events usually cross over? Almost every romance author event that I attend or host, they start talking about horror. And they're just like, murder kisses, and it's just...
That's amazing.
Genre readers and authors are a breed apart. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, what else do we want to talk about?
We could do some rapid-fire book recommendations, escalating in steam levels.
Oh, gosh, yes. I don't know if mine are in order of steam.
I will tell you what they are, and then you can edit this later.
Yeah. Chaste romance novels are great, and there is absolutely an audience for them. Elizabeth and I both love the level fives. but there is absolutely an audience for the level ones. Because, you know, sometimes you just want...
Smooches.
You just want smooches, and you just want the relationship part. Yep. You just want the... getting together. All YA romances fall into that category, right? Because it always is either just smooches, or if there's even a hint of something, it fades to black so quickly. I can think The Fault in Our Stars has a fade to black scene, and that's like the spiciest YA tends to get.
Level ones, which is some smooches at the end. Level ones have a couple places. One, you might have a reader who is uncomfortable with sexual content or physical touching. It maybe skeeves them out. All right. Mm-hmm. That's a reader. Every book for every reader. Like, there's that. Or maybe you're hosting a book club with your grandma and you don't want to have... to explain some of the slang to grandma.
Or you don't want grandma to...
Explain it to you.
I talked about this with Jasmine Guillory. She was like, yeah, people don't want to, you know, do the romance book club with their mom or their grandma. But then she's like, then I'm over here chatting with mom and grandma and how much they love the romance novels. It's like, yeah, you know... But it's the conversation between each other that you want to avoid, maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's... And also, I mean, there are, you know... You want to also be sensitive of folks who are asexual and maybe don't want to read that. They just want the romantic conversations and the dating and the process of getting together. And then the longing. Ends. And, like, think of, like, the way... We were raised on Disney movies, right? Mm-hmm. The whole thing is...
Unreasonable expectations for my hair.
Oh, truly. The whole thing is the falling in love part, and then it ends with the kiss.
Yep. Oftentimes, literally the last scene.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, we love the level ones on the steam scale.
So, I've got a couple here. This is a little bit older, but Boyfriend Material by Alexis Hall.
That book is so good.
Which, if you liked Red, White, and Royal Blue, you would like this one. And that's a fake dating romance.
Yeah.
Between the son of a celebrity. He doesn't know his dad. His dad is a rock star. And he's just trying to keep a job. Like, he's very good. Like, because the paparazzi... He's not that he's bad at his job, but the paparazzi won't leave him alone.
Yes.
And he's like, he literally trips. He's completely sober, but he literally trips on the steps coming out of a nightclub. And the paparazzi are like, gone on a bender! Mm-hmm. And he almost loses his job because he works for a dung beetle preservation charity. And the rich, fancy donors are just like, oh, well, you know, you need to brush up your reputation, if or you need to be fired.
Right.
Because we're very rich and very fancy, and we think it's very novel to know somebody who's gay, but it has to be the right kind of gay right. person, a respectable gay person. So he needs a respectable boyfriend, and he ends up dating Oliver. They meet through friends. So Oliver ends up dating Lucien, who's a barrister, a lawyer, yeah. who also, like, needs to stand up to his parents because he will never... You know, his parents, he's obviously the second favorite
yes.
child, and he was never good enough. And they're both wonderful for each other. By the way, he's writing a sequel called Husband Material.
Oh, my God.
And that one, like, has some smooches. Like, well, Boyfriend Material has some smooches. Are you pre-ordering it, like, right now, Ryan? Because it doesn't come out till next year. I'm dying. But he has lots of other novels in between. I actually have Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake over on the shelf on my TBR, which is not in the same one. But no. That one, it has some smooches. That one's male-male. And then, so I also just read So We Meet Again, which is written by Suzanne Park, who is also the author of Loathe at First Sight, which I thought was mismarketed. By the way, that one is just like this big enemies to lovers. And I'm like, yes, I mean, they don't like each other at the beginning because she thinks he's gunning for her job, but they don't actually have any real disagreements. They just don't like each other. And then they do like some smooching at the end. Like, I thought that was mismarketed.
Sure.
Because it was a perfectly fine book on its own. But when you're expecting like fiery, passionate enemies to lovers yeah. and you're just like, they have to share a cubicle. Oh, no. Like, that's not the same. But So We Meet Again is a level one, and it is a woman who is downsized from her Wall Street job because she is unpromotable because she's a woman on Wall Street who refused to, not that she uncovered her coworkers' affairs, but like she refused to actually help actively cover them up. Gotcha. And it's a boys' club, and they're just yep. like, well, she's gonna be trouble. Like, she does most of the work around here, but you know. So she ends up moving home to Nashville to live with her parents, and she ends up like, she's like, okay, I'm gonna try something else. I don't want to go back to Wall Street. It was exhausting. Mm-hmm. And she starts up a cooking channel, her old cooking channel, which in college used to be a YouTube channel for how to hack, like, dorm food.
Yes.
And now she learns, she's doing these channels on, or these videos on, how to hack the meal subscription boxes if you get a HelloFresh. And they're nice. Boring, and they're all the same. Mm-hmm. And she's like, here's how you, her, she's a child of Korean immigrants, and she's like, here's how you whip up this sauce, and you turn this boring chicken into this kind of Korean barbecue, or you do this or that. And these are very simple ways to do this and that. Her mom crashes her video. And it's just like, oh, no, you are stirring the sauce wrong. You need to do this. And the internet is like, we love your mother so much. And she's like, this isn't what I wanted. But, oh, my God, my views are through the roof. So she ends up bringing her mother back on, which, you know, it's this cute novel. There's also this, we are talking about romances. Her middle school rival
yes.
is back in town. He no longer has a bowl cut. He is now smoking hot. And everybody's trying to push them together, but everybody also used to compare them all the time because it's the Korean immigrant community. Yep. And they're like, why aren't you like their son? Why aren't you like their daughter? And of course, he is perfect. And everybody's like, you could do just like Jimmy right over there. And she's like, I'm not Jimmy. I'm your daughter, you know? Yeah. And, you know, so they're kind of, like, reluctant to hang out together, but there is the chemistry, and, you know, it's like, if they can just get over the past, you know. And he's a lawyer, and he helps her with some connections, and then he ends up representing her old Wall Street firm, and it's, you know, so that one, but that's level one.
Yep.
Smooches, you know.
All right.
Level two. What is level two? Level two is, like, some tensions rising.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of smooching, but they're not heading to the bedroom. I don't know if I have any level twos on my list. Level one and level two kind of, there's a pretty strong crossover.
There's a good overlap there.
I feel like a lot of places just flat out skip number two and jump straight to number three.
Yes.
This is the shortest segment on the entire podcast. There are no level twos. Level two is like floor 13 in hotels. Level 2 does not exist. It's just there so that people feel like they have some control when they move from smooches to the bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Level
2
is a myth.
Level
2
is a myth.
Level 2 is just there so we can have 5 levels.
Yes. I don't think Michael listens to the podcast, so thank goodness. Okay.
He definitely won't listen to this one.
No, it's true. Level 3, fade to black. They're definitely hitting the sheets, but we're, like, the scene ends, and then you wake up to coffee in the morning with fresh makeup.
You know
and
that it happened.
Yes.
I think, I'm trying to remember, because I did not take notes in the spreadsheet when I read this, I think Kevin Kwan's new book, Sex and Vanity, might be a level 3.
All right.
I think. I don't remember it getting, because I know that there's a scene that gets interrupted, so it's about to be explicit, but it doesn't get there because they get interrupted.
I think it's like a 3.5.
And then...
Maybe?
And then years pass, they reconnect. I don't recall explicit scenes in that one. And I apologize if I'm wrong about that. I'm sorry if I'm misremembering, but I think Sex and Vanity by Kevin Kwan is a level 3. It is very good. It is very funny because it opens. You're at a wedding, and you're following in this first chapter a sister who is sort of a plus one of one of the guests, and she's the older, no, she's a cousin, and she's the older cousin of one of the guests, and she is in a blind panic because something horrible has happened, and you're like, oh no, what horrible thing has happened? And you don't find out for a very long time, but you do discover that, like, this cousin is, like, kind of prudish, a little crazy, like, it probably wasn't that bad. And then when you get to what she thought she walked in on or whatever, you're like, oh, I mean, all right, that's not great, but that's not terrible. Like, calm down. It's very funny. It is, if you liked Crazy Rich Asians, you will love Sex and Vanity. It is totally, like, the majority of the novel takes place at this insanely extravagant wedding in, like, Italy, I think. It's, like, a week-long affair, and it is bananas. It has a little bit of the enemies to lovers. It's a little more, like, strong dislike becomes sort of friendly, becomes lovers.
All right.
But no, it is great. I liked that one a lot. And I'm going to stick to my guns and say level 3, maybe 3.5. And I apologize if I'm forgetting an explicit scene.
I've got a couple in my spreadsheet. I've got If I Never Met You by Mahari McLean. Mm. McFarlane, not McLean. And that is a... there's a woman who... her fiancé breaks it off with her. And he's like, I never wanted kids, so, and we were about to start trying, so we want different things, and I don't feel the spark anymore, and we should break up. And she's like, we've been together for 15 years, and she's like, I'm in my 30s, I don't know how to be single. Like, what even is Tinder? Yeah. That one's a bit of a fake dating, because she ends up, the office playboy, who turns out not to be quite as playboy as previously thought, needs to show the senior partners at their law firm. He's like, I'm a serious guy. I'm a family guy. So he's like, if I date you, then they'll be like, oh, wow, you're dating the dependable gal at the office. And she's like, and if I date you, my ex-fiancé who works in the other department is going to get super jealous. And, you know, hijinks ensue. That one is fairly chaste, but, like, they do end up, you know, like, there's some fade to black And the fiance, by the, it gets worse because you're just like, well, why would she like do this? Well, her ex-fiance almost immediately has a pregnant new girlfriend. Ugh. And it's like, you bastard. So she's like, all right, I'm going to go get a new dress and a new haircut and we're going to pretty woman it up and you're going to be miserable. And he is, he's miserable. Good. And it's like, well, you deserve it. Let's see, what else is three? Second First Impressions by Sally Thorne, author of The Hating Game. Okay. Second First Impressions is not The Hating Game 2.0. Second First Impressions is like, is much sweeter, much softer. And that one is the office manager of a very rich retirement community. There's a new owner and he drops off his son who is smoking hot and he's like, give him a job, make him do something useful. He's super nice. Nobody, like, his family obviously thinks he's useless, but he's immediately like, hey, there's a turtle in the road, let's get it out of the road, and yes, I'll drive these little old ladies around, and like, aww, you know, it's super sweet. And the main character, though, is like, I'm not worth anything because of reasons, like, from my past and my, you know, impressions of myself and who I am. And he's, like, obviously immediately in love with her, but she can't see even who she is. But that one, like, that's, like, a three, fade to black. Okay. And then I think the last one I'm going to talk about for three is Recipe for Persuasion, which is, I mentioned at the top, that one, fade to black, right there.
Love it.
Four, we have a lot more fours and fives on my list.
Fours and fives, I feel like we read the most.
I would call level four is like Steam Alert. Like, yeah, you're getting some descriptions on that page.
Yes.
But only like maybe, there's only like maybe one to three,
yeah,
spicy scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's that one big payoff.
Yep.
Whereas level five is like consistent.
Many, many payoffs. Many,
several, several. Let me see if I have any fours on my list.
I will say this one threw me for a loop. First Comes Like by Alicia Ray, okay, is a contemporary Muslim romance. And that one is fake dating because there's a, she's a beauty vlogger. She has a YouTube, successful YouTube channel. She has been catfished by, the Instagram account of a like Bollywood movie star. She goes to meet him at a party and he's like, I have no idea who you are. Who are you? Like, what? You're beautiful. Like, and you seem very interesting, but like, what? Who are you? And she's mortified. And he's like, he figures out that someone has basically hacked his account and basically has catfished this poor girl. And he's like, I am so sorry. They're photographed together leaving a restaurant. And her conservative family's like, who is this? And she's like, it's nobody. And they're like, isn't that the Bollywood star? And she's like, it's nobody. And they're like,
don't,
well,
worry about it.
You know, we needed to set up a husband for you anyway. So if it's nobody, and she's like, you owe me. Can you please just for like 3 weeks pretend to be my boyfriend and then we'll split up just to get my family off my back because I'm the disappointing daughter, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's very sweet, very chaste. They're very respectful. She wears a headscarf. Like she's very modest. She's very modest. They're very strong propriety. Like, they're never really, like, alone together. Until they get married. And then I was like, oh, what a sweet, chaste book. Oh, my God. Okay. Whoa. Not chaste. Not, okay. Just scratch through the. So, like, but that one, like, that's a level four. But, like, yeah, the first 75% of it, I was like, oh, it's a level one. No. Surprise. Level four descriptions.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It was that's good, awesome, though. It was really good.
Nice. I feel like Emily Henry falls in the, like, yep, level four.
Mm-hmm.
Her most recent one, People We Meet on Vacation, I would say, is a level four. There's, like, tensions, and then, like, big payoff.
Yes.
And that one was very, very good. And you can listen to my interview with Emily Henry. That one's already been uploaded.
The X Talk by Rachel Lynn Solomon, which is two public radio producers who hate each other so much, just like this rivalry. And they're passion for each other, like, that they hate, like, they just cannot stand each other. Their producer is just like, we need a new show or we're gonna, like, go off the air or something. You two, like, I could believe you two hate each other so much. I could believe that you two had dated at one point. That's it. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pretend that you two are exes and you're gonna have a dating advice game. Wow. So you're going to pretend that you dated at one point, which people will totally believe. You say it was secret because you were coworkers, but the way that you two are so fierce with each other, they'll totally believe it. Only now they have to spend all this time together, and it turns out that they kind of like each other.
Aww.
And it's super cute, and it gets pretty spicy. That's awesome. Any of the bromance book clubs, I would call, yes, like a four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, those are great.
And Abby Jimenez, she levels, like, between 4 and 5. The tension in those, in her Abby Jimenez's books, are so spicy that it tips kind of, like, into 5.
Yeah.
But there's usually very few actual huge payoff,
yeah,
scenes there. And she's absolutely hilarious. She is the owner of Nadia's Cakes.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
She won several seasons of the Cupcake Wars. If you are on Twitter, you have probably seen the Vagiode cake, where, yes, they made a geode rock crystal cake that looks like a vagina. And she was like, all right, lean into it. She's like, don't get it moist. You know, she's absolutely hilarious.
So funny.
And that bleeds into her books, which have a lot of pining, mm-hmm, and, like, we can't be together because of reasons, but we desperately want each other. Okay, let's do it. And she's got, like, 3 out now, which are extremely, they're wonderful. Like, I read them in, like, a day and a half. They're very, nice, very good.
Do we want to jump to 5?
Yes, we do. We do want to jump to 5.
There are so many.
so many on our list.
There are so many. I want to start with one that I think you all should pre-order, which is A Marvelous Light by Freya Marsk.
That's a level 5?
Well,
you guys talked a lot about the gay magical pining, but you didn't say it had spicy. I feel so betrayed.
Yeah. It's like a 4.9.
Okay. All right.
With the tension,
I love alone a good tension.
Could be a 5, but then the actual getting together is like, whew.
Oh my!
She is a very good writer.
Excellent.
yeah, it is phenomenal. It comes out in November. It is magical. Literally, there's magic. And it's at times very, like, prim and proper, and then there's descriptions of forearms that make you sweat. Like, you're just like, there's a scene where they walk into a library, and Freya describes the library in a way that I had to put the book down because I was blushing. Like, I was like, good Lord, woman.
Freya, what are you doing to us?
It's incredible. So that is A Marvelous Light. Marvelous has 2 L's in this title by Freya Marsk. Also, One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston, which I just finally read. Oh, wow, what a great book. It takes place in New York. And one of the main characters meets a girl on the queue, on the train. She's like, wow, she's, like, really cool and really cute. And it's fine. It's whatever. It's totally chill. I don't have a crush on her at all. And she definitely doesn't change her whole entire routine so that she can keep bumping into this girl on the train. And weird, she's always on the train no matter what time she goes, and also weird, she, like, turned her down for a date outside of the train. That's odd. Oh, she's stuck in time on the train. It's amazing. It is, like, you think it's gonna be like a magical realism, and it's actually almost more sciencey than magical, like, it almost is like quantum science instead of magical realism. But it is so good, and it's so spicy when they finally get together. You're just like, Wow, okay, I thought I would be grossed out by subway sex, but apparently not.
Just bring some hand sanitizer to, like,
the reader. Yeah,
yeah. Casey McQuiston is the author of Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. So that is, whew, that is a very good one.
So I'm going to throw out just a couple of the giveaways for level 5 that are just a given. Anything by Talia Hibbert?
Yep. That, I have a screenshot of all the Talia Hibbert books.
Which is Take a Hint, Danny Brown, Get a Life, Chloe Brown.
Act Your Age, Eve Brown.
Act Your Age, Eve Brown. And Tessa Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Any, like,
mm-hmm.
Fix Her Up or... I'm sorry, Brooke. One day this summer. Tessa Bailey is spicy. Yes. Level 5.
Yes.
I consider Beach Read to be a level 5 because of the, or a 4.9 because the extreme tension and then some pretty decent payoff.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That was Emily Henry.
Yes, but for a couple of that are not Talia Hibbert or Tessa Bailey. I like Not the Girl You Marry by Christopher Andy.
Loved that one.
Which is about a biracial girl who she's like, I was never good enough. I was never black enough or white enough for any of my boyfriend's families. And I've had lots of boyfriends. And I was just not the girl that you marry. And I have given up. And it turns into fake dating because she meets this really cute guy. And he really likes her. And he flirts with her. And... he's a journalist, and he has been writing puff pieces and listicles, and he's like, I really think we could do some hard-hitting research here, and his editor is like, well, I want you to basically write How to Lose a Girl in 10 Days, like, one last thing, because you're cute and your audience loves you, so you need to write, like, dating tips. So he has to start dating her with the intention of breaking up with her, only he doesn't want to because he actually likes her. And then she is fake dating him to get ahead because she's a wedding planner. And they're just like, hey, you can't be a single wedding planner. None of the brides will respect you.
Right.
Obviously, they both have terrible bosses. They both really like each other. Neither, it's a fake dating. Neither of them knows it's a fake date, except they both know it's a fake date, just not with each other. It's very confusing. It is spicy, though. Like, I was like, oh, this is like sweet and emotional. Okay. Wow. I am doing my cardio session here and I am blushing. So I think I'm like, this is not good to have your heart rate up and your heart rate up. So,
yep.
What else do I have here? I have, you know, Abby Jimenez also sometimes tips into level 5, like her first book, The Friend Zone. Wow. Tension. Amazing. Wow. That one was intense. But that one, I will say, it's not a romantic comedy. It's a romantic drama. It deals with some heavy topics, and it is very funny.
Yeah.
But it's not all sunshines and roses, and so, like, some trigger warnings might be appropriate there. And then I will mention one last. No. The Worst Best Man. By Mia Sosa.
I liked that one.
That one, she's a South American. She's a she's an event planner, again, with brides.
Yeah.
And she ends up competing for a contract at a hotel with another event planning firm, which happens to include her ex, who left her at the altar. She's a wedding planner who got left at the altar.
Ugh.
And she ends up working with her ex-fiancé's brother.
Yes.
And she's like, I hate you. I don't ever want to work with you, ever. Except that we have amazing chemistry, and I blame you for my being left at the altar. It turns out that he had just been thrown under the bus for it.
Yeah.
But that one is fiery. That one.
Yeah.
That one. And, oh, no, there's only one bed. Oh no. So there's a couple there.
Yeah.
I feel like you could probably find most of these, honestly, already on our website under the romance.
Yep.
One there. Oh, and you guys all need to read Payback's a Witch. That one's, I would put it as like a 4.
Okay.
Like, there's some pretty great tension in there. The scenes are not overly descriptive.
Okay.
Though. I mean, like, they are, but they're not.
Yeah. That's fair. Yep. Awesome. I think those are all excellent recommendations. And if you can't find a romance novel that you enjoy out of that, well, then I just don't know how to help you.
I do. Email me. I love talking about romance. No, so we have Blind Date with a Book romance novels up right now.
Yes.
But I have literally done this for customers before where they're just like, hey, I want a romance novel, and here's what I like. And I will literally be like, okay, what are some that you've already read so that I don't send you something you've already read? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be like, hey, this has bump, 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 bump. And it has this and this and this and this. Does that sound good? It's $16.99. And they're like, yes. Here's my credit card. I literally wrap it up and I've mailed it to them. Like, I will blind date you.
Yes.
That does sound fun. Like, I'm married happily. I'm sorry. I'm not on the market. Unless you need a blind date with a book, at which point I will find you your spicy book. Because I am like, they're just so good. They're like dumplings from the Chinese food restaurant where you're just like, I'm only going to have two. And then you've eaten all of them. They're so good.
Yeah. If we ever figure out the logistics of doing the, pick a thing on our website and have a specific bookseller just send you something. If we ever get the logistics down, I feel like yours will be romance.
Oh my gosh. Romance or does it have a dragon?
Or fantasy.
Yeah, like romance or fantasy or romantic fantasy. Yep. Which, again, did we mention again? Neon Gods, level 6. Level 6.
So good, you guys.
I have the arc of Electric Idol, the next one.
Excellent.
Which is Eros and who does Eros fall in love with?
I'm not up
It's on the story of Eros, and it has a plus-sized romantic lead as well. And I think that one is a marriage of convenience.
Wonderful.
And I'm into it. Stoked.
I'm here for it.
But yeah, so please let us pick romance novels for you.
Let us pick books for you. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun. This is going to go up mostly unedited because we have too much fun talking about romance novels. You know all the things. You know where to find us. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.
Bye.